Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and today's podcast is going to be fascinating. We are going to the very cutting edge of what's going on in molecular science of beauty, dermatology, aging, and senescence. I am interviewing Dr. Frederick Bedingfield III. He's an MD and a PhD and an FAAD. That's a dermatologist, physician, scientist, and biotech executive. Before becoming CEO of Rubedo Life Sciences in 2024, he was a senior leader at Allergan, where he was chief medical officer, and he developed and commercialized so many products in derm and aesthetics, including Kybella and helping to forward the hyaluronic acid fillers at Allergan, as well as the Botox brand. So currently, he has brought all this background into bridging academic medicine, clinical derm, and pharma development into longevity. And in the longevity space, you're coming up with drugs at Rubedo that are reversing senescence. And I am so excited about that. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Okay. You were telling me the name Rubedo. Where does it come from?
Yeah. So Rubedo, our founder is Italian-American, Stanford professor. And he was fascinated since his earliest days with alchemy. So Rubedo is the fourth step in the regeneration that the alchemists were doing, regeneration of life. And that fourth step was called Rubedo, which is red, it means red, and that signifies the life's blood, which was the fourth stage. So that's where the name comes from.
That's so appropriate on so many different levels. So most longevity companies talk about lifespan. Why did you guys choose to focus on, at Rubedo, you're focusing on health span and reversing that process of cellular death and senescence?
Yeah. I think the whole field of longevity has made this transition from talking about longevity and lifespan to health span. Because at the end of the day, we want to live healthier longer. Mm-hmm. Yes, we want to live longer, but if we're not healthy and living longer, kind of what's the point? So I think there's a real focus on that. And the good news is often they go together, but not necessarily. And so it is an important, I think, mission statement to say, you know, we want to improve health span.
So you guys at Rubedo are coming up with pharma drugs that can actually adapt to and adjust the body's kind of decay process, where a normal cell can become, it's very vibrant, then slowly starts to have senescent changes, then emits senescent secretory proteins, and then eventually dies off. So there's a whole sequence, and you have this technology that you call adaptive xenotherapeutics. Right. What is that, and how does that work?
Well, it's very interesting because the company started off with a focus on developing a senolytic, which means a drug that gets rid of senescent cells, these older cells that have died and stopped dividing, probably as a protection from cancer, but somehow as the body ages, we don't get rid of them. What we found in the course of our human trials is that the drug not only gets rid of senescent cells, but if a cell is, say, aged, diseased, not functioning properly, it actually stimulates it. It's almost a redox reset, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we see improvements in how the cell functions on multiple levels, including a reduction in the biological age of the cell.
That
which is fascinating.
That is amazing. Is it a topical or an oral right now that you're testing?
So we're developing both. The topical is in human trials, and we've been in human trials over a year now, so we've got a lot of data. And in parallel, we're developing a systemic version, because in the long run, if you want to improve health span, you're going to have a systemic therapy.
So the drug is called right now a very long name. What's the name of it?
A very compelling name, RLS-1496, which we will change at some point. But that's the name, RLS-1496.
Yeah. Okay, and it actually works on an enzyme, glutathione peroxidase. Tell me about what that enzyme does in the body, and what is this peroxidation concept that we're not that familiar with?
Yeah, so it's a really important cellular regulator. And it turns out it's probably a master cellulator of a regulator of cellular aging. And it's been known as a key component of something called ferroptosis, which is this iron-dependent cell death. But now we're coming to understand it's involved in free radical suppression and the whole redox state of the cell. And so it turns out to have downstream effects on all the functions of the cell. We think we, you know, through our AI platform, this came out, this target GPX4. We didn't even actually understand initially it was GPX4. It had to be deconvoluted through this screening process. But it kept showing up, so we focused in on it. We found out, oh, this is GPX4. It's involved in this pathway that the cell kills itself. That's how the senescent cells die. You trigger them to go through this cellular death pathway. But what we didn't realize is that the cells that are not senescent, but maybe on the way to senescence, can be reset. And so in some ways, I joke and I call it, it's a Friedrich Nietzschean biology. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
It makes you better, yeah. That is so true. So what kind of things help a cell reverse itself from the senescent state? It sounds like you're reversing peroxidation damage.
Right. So yeah. We clearly see a host of improvements in oxidative byproducts. So that just very quickly gets reset. And so the cell is functioning from a much better state from a standpoint of these highly reactive oxygen radical free radicals, if you mm-hmm. will, that are just damaging the cellular components. So that happens very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then later we start to see improvement in mitochondrial function mm-hmm. and what's called autophagy, which is kind of the cell cleaning itself. Mm-hmm. That enhances. At a more histologic level, we see increases in collagen, decreases in collagenase, mm-hmm. and on multiple levels through spatial transcriptomics, it's improving. It's mm-hmm. improving all the features of aging of the skin tissue.
So interesting. So iron can age our cells faster than they should be aging. That's the process of ferroptosis, right? Yeah. And each cell is surrounded by these nice lipid membranes. Maybe the iron kind of causes that kind of rusting process where rust and breakdown of peroxidases attack those lipid membranes.
Well, and what's interesting too is that it's in a way, it's a normal function, this ferroptosis, that cells don't often go through when they possibly could and should. Mm. And so it's turning that function on in the case when it's needed. Mm-hmm. But in the case when it's not needed, it's just a transient change in it that is kind of like almost like exercise is for a out of shape person, but who's healthy enough, they'll respond positively to exercise. Whereas if you were, say, very old and on death's door and we put you through a strenuous exercise program, you might pass away from it. So it's a bit like that.
Depending
on the cell state, there's a different reaction to the stimulus.
So in the human trials, you guys are now checking like four different arms. I was reading that you're using this product for eczema patients, for psoriasis, for aging in general, and then actinic keratosis.
Right.
So interesting. So all four arms are getting the same treatment, and we're kind of assessing what aging changes or anti-aging changes are occurring.
Yeah. We wanted to go quickly to human trials because being in this business a long time, I don't put a lot of weight on mouse data. You know, you can do all these studies and then you go to humans and it doesn't pan out at all. So we quickly went through some mouse studies, of course. When we went to human skin studies, so getting biopsies from dermatologist's office and plastic surgeon's office and testing it, then we went into the live human, which is great. And we were able to do that very quickly because it's a very safe drug. The toxicology package was just incredibly safe. So the FDA and the European Union, EMEA, let us skip healthy volunteers altogether and go straight into patients.
That's nice.
In my entire career, I've never been able to do that. So it's a first. I was very excited. Mm. And that's just the safety profile. Mm. And so, yeah, we've got positive data in all four things we looked at. The psoriasis got better. Mm-hmm. The atopic dermatitis got better. We got a 50% reduction in these precancerous lesions in 4 weeks.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And we're talking about you did double-blinded, two arms. So one arm got the control, the other arm got the treatment.
Right.
And you saw half the lesions leave the actinic keratosis arm.
Yeah, and on the control arm, it was about 10%.
So yeah.
It's definitely
so
a big difference. And these are hard to treat, you know, these
they
AKs
are,
on the forearm,
are,
they're crusty, they're bigger. We, at the time, didn't have the pathway through the FDA to go on the face, because you have to do some eye studies and things. We've done those now. So now the next study we'll do, probably starting this fall, will be on the face, but those are easier to treat. So we may even get better than 50% results.
And that would be for aging changes.
And it would be for aging as well as AKs. Because,
You
know, we're very interested in a product that can treat disease and treat aging processes. And so today, if you have these precancerous lesions, you know, we're putting 5-fluorouracil or imiquimod. You're not really improving the health and aging of the skin dramatically with those treatments. You're getting
just
rid of the
cancers. Just kind of ablating them.
You're ablating.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's actually data that shows that chemotherapy itself causes senescence.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot
true.
Of post-cancer people have a lot of senescent cells. And so this is the opposite, where we're getting rid of those precancers, but we're actually treating the underlying skin and making it healthier. Hopefully that results in you not getting more of these down the road, and your skin's healthier and all around better. So that's kind of our focus. The psoriasis and atopic derm data are compelling, but we just can't do everything as a small company. And we found the AK and aging skin fits very well together in our aging story, and that's where we found the most impressive data. So that's what we're going to pursue.
Yeah. That's going to be life-changing for many, many patients who have AKs. Or imagine if you could pre-treat before you get the AKs.
Oh, yeah.
That would be even better.
I mean,
better.
So many of us, you know, grew up at a time when we didn't use sun protection when we were in our teens.
Yeah.
We went to the beach. I had friends who put oil on their face, for goodness sakes. So fortunately, I didn't do that, but because I had
all the 90s kids, we did that.
But, you know, I think there's a real opportunity here for something that not only treats these conditions, but really improves the underlying skin and the health of the skin, the appearance. Now, I like to joke, I spent the first half of my career making the skin look younger. I'm actually making it younger and healthier.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah. It's so wonderful that aesthetics is having this bioregenerative renaissance of beauty. Like, it's no longer about lines and wrinkles and like smoothening things.
Right.
That was our beginning tools. And now we have science that shows that within each line and wrinkle, there are senescent fibroblasts actually, versus in skin adjacent to a wrinkle, fibroblasts are behaving more normally. So now we have hopefully a technology that we'll be able to use for increased collagen expression. You're seeing that.
We are, yes, and decreased collagenases.
Yeah.
And on multiple levels of sort of markers of aging of the skin through a technique called spatial transcriptomics, we're seeing across the board improvement in all these measures. So we will do further work on aging skin in and of itself beyond AKs. And this is something where, you know, you're on the cutting edge of this. You're doing clinical trials. So this is something where we should probably work together.
Yes.
To do something like
this. High five. I am so excited about this technology. I can't tell you how I nerded out and did a deep dive and read everything there was to know about glutathione peroxidase. And I really think you guys are onto something. It seems like as we age, the mitochondria, the reactions in the mitochondria just produce an excessive amount of reactive oxygen species to the point that the cell gets acidified and reactions don't happen correctly and too many DNA mutations to repair.
Yeah.
And that's just the process that its cell can't reverse on its own. So it's so great to think that there's a xenotherapeutic out there that will boost these lagging cells.
You know, it's this confluence of, I think, the longevity field, you know, making progress from a more of a early science to now becoming, we're getting human data showing we can reverse these common biological processes that result in aging. And, you know, the GLP-1s are just amazing. They're probably the best case for a longevity drug to date.
Yes, literally.
And they didn't start off thinking that's what they were developing. They thought they were developing an obesity drug or a diabetes drug.
Right.
But in fact, all those processes result in downstream effects that affect aging. And so they're probably, you know, improving health span more than we can even quantify right now.
So true. I think it has to do with, you know, reduced calorie intake, less glycation damage, less sugar floating in your system. And then general cells more in the autophagy mode and reversing their mTOR towards fasting state, repair state. So adding something like the Robato's drugs is going to be incredible. Have you thought about doing a GLP arm? I feel like the products in combination would be astronomically good.
They could work very well together. And as you know, some people on GLP-1s suffer from some skin elasticity that's not quite so strong, and they get some sagging. And this is driving, I think, you know, interest in, you know, patients on GLP-1s. I think it's a dual thing. One is, yes, there are some changes in the skin they want you to fix, but they also like their body image better.
Yeah.
And they want other things. They're getting positive feedback. And they're saying, hey, I like this. I wanna come into the derm's office. So the plastic surgeons, the derms, are really getting, I think, a benefit of these GLP-1s in a sense. And they're really able to help those people so much. Mm-hmm. So these are quite synergistic, these two fields.
Well, I think in the past, people felt very hopeless. Like, it was so hard to lose weight. You literally couldn't move the needle. And in the case of the GLPs, within, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, you see such noticeable improvements that you feel positive and aspirational beauty. You know, you feel like you can do something with your changes in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's empowering.
It really is. Yeah.
Just so rewarding for you, I'm sure, treating these patients and seeing them.
And I'm so happy to see people get metabolically healthy. I have a husband who's a cardiologist, and like, they are prescribing GLPs left and right, and he's like, it's the number one intervention that can get people off of 2 hypertension drugs and 1 cholesterol pill.
Amazing.
And like, very quickly, they reset their entire biology. Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about the lead drug, the RLS-1496. So it is topical right now. It's the first ever developed drug that reverses this glutathione peroxidase damage.
Yeah.
Is that right? And then you have those indications for actinic keratosis, psoriasis, eczema. You're going for all of those indications or just a case?
Right now we're going to focus on the aging skin, which you can get an FDA label for that. We did it with the retinoids back in the day.
Good.
And
so for photo damage, photo aging?
Yeah, fine lines, wrinkles, photo damage. And then we will also pursue the AKs.
Okay.
We also have a top secret aesthetic indication we're pursuing that is not just skin, and we can't disclose that yet, but I'm hopeful that we will be able to sometime later this year.
Am I hearing injectable?
Could be, but in the current state, we're going to test it topically. Could be an injectable. Huh. And we're looking at the regeneration of stem cells.
Wow.
And the downstream effect of that has some aesthetic implications, because it turns out there's some data recently that found senescent cells can surround stem cell reservoirs and inhibit those stem cells, which are not dead, but dormant.
Got it.
And sort of reawakening them. And so we've taken that, and based on some observations we saw in our early work in the skin and in the animals, we believe there's another indication beyond just aging skin. But we'll have to wait to talk about that at our
That's
next podcast.
That's such a cool idea. Yeah. So these senescent cells surround those kind of dormant stem cell populations and attack them, basically, suppressing
them.
They're
more. They're suppressing them, keeping them in this sort of...
And
know,
those must be found
state.
In mesenchymal fat and then bone marrow.
There's a lot of interesting work going on fat stem cells, bone marrow, stem cells surrounding hair, follicles.
Yes, okay.
Just all kinds of things. And it's really fascinating. I think, you know, not just taking stem cells and manipulating them outside the body, but actually, if you can use a drug to, you know, reawaken stem cells or improve their functioning, that's another way to do this without having to take them out, manipulate them, and put them back in. Which are both, I think, very interesting ways of approaching this.
Right.
But they're different, and they both probably have some real reasons to proceed forward with them.
Nurture them where they are. That makes the most sense. Like, that's in their normal milieu. All this talk about senescence and how cells secrete the secretory factors, the SASP factors that can affect cells surrounding them, it just makes me wonder, like, why were we not taught in med school to be more aggressive about reversing senescence?
You know, it just didn't come up. I think it was not well understood, and they just didn't realize the damage of this secretome.
It's so true.
All this, you know... Part of aging is just inflammation, right?
Totally.
And, you know, think of joints and brain and liver. And, fat. A lot of it is inflammatory. And when you get rid of this source of multiple inflammatory cytokines, it's really beneficial. So if you think about like some of the biologics we use for inflammatory skin diseases, they target a specific cytokine, which is important in that disease. But now we're kind of getting these other therapies like the JAK inhibitors, and we're finding if you can inhibit multiple cytokines, you can get really great results. But that comes sometimes with some off-target consequences or side effects. This is not an immunosuppressant. It's just taking away a source of inflammation. It's not suppressing your immune system. If anything, it's probably enhancing your immune system.
So do these cells then repair their, you know, the damage to the fat of their membranes?
Yeah.
They go into repair mode.
They do.
So is this going to help patients, hopefully, with neurodegenerative disorder, where the brain is made of myelin and there's peroxidation damage for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's?
We believe so. And that's, you know, so we've started in the skin because the skin is a great place to start. But with our oral drug, our oral version of this drug, we would be treating metabolic diseases and we would be treating neurodegenerative disorders. And we published in Nature Neuroscience last year showing that if you treat senescent neurons in the dorsal root ganglion and get rid of them, you can get rid of chronic neuropathic pain. That could be an injectable. Very exciting. Medical therapy and chronic pain and and you know, pain from pinched nerves and all these things that have to do with people's spine as they age are a big problem with quality of life. When once you can't walk, now you've really hurt your longevity. We need to be active, as we all know. So this could be a really great therapy on multiple fronts, and we do see it as a pipeline and a product.
And next up, you guys might go into getting a cosmeceutical variation.
That's true. So we're not a cosmetic company, but of course, back in my days at Allergan, we developed, you know, skincare products, you know, Provage, MD Forte, MD formulations, and later on Skin Medica. And so it's a big part of that business. And you know, in your office, your patients don't only want prescription medications, they want active so-called cosmeceuticals. So we're working right now with potential partners on this. So we have a disclosed partnership with Beiersdorf. This is the huge cosmetic company responsible for Nivea, Coppertone, Aquaphor, La Prairie. And they're developing using analogs of our drugs. So these are not drugs, but related variants that the FDA wouldn't consider a drug. And they're developing cosmetic versions of this. And should they find one that they like and are successful, they would move it forward, and we would have this partnership with them where we are supplying them with these sort of so-called cosmetic ingredients.
So we're about to next level cosmeceuticals for consumers out there. Like, I think your AI platform is really fascinating and is going to discover even more of these type of analog molecules, right? You guys have a very special AI platform. Can you mention a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it really came out of the ability for us to understand aging next level now, because single cell RNA sequencing, spatial transcriptomics, these modern techniques that generate a massive amount of data. So we have 140 million human cells of data. A lot of that is in the skin. And each of those cells may have 1,000 data points associated with it. So how are you going to analyze this without AI and machine learning? And so we have this AI platform. It was a big part of how the company was founded. Out of that came GPX4 and our other targets for these drugs. And it's really fascinating. And it's also meant faster, more cost-effective drug development, because we weren't the first to go after GPX4. It was actually being studied by a number of big companies like Takeda, AbbVie, Bayer. And they were looking at it in the realm of cancer therapy. But we started after them, but got into the clinic before them. And we're the first to go into human trials with GPX4. So that shows you the power of AI. It's changing everything in biotechnology.
And it's going to keep doing that as well. So faster human studies, more
better probability of
molecules
success
that integrate exactly at the human interface.
Yeah,
yeah, this is going to be amazing. Well, what are you doing for your own senescence? Are you taking any supplements? Do you take senolytics? Do you believe in, you know, urolithin A for your mitochondria?
Well, I do. I do take some supplements, and so I take a well-known senolytic cocktail of fascitin and quercetin.
Good.
And I do that intermittently, not every day. And then I take rapamycin.
Do you
low
really?
Dose, once a week.
Okay.
Yes.
Like 4 or 5 milligrams a week?
Eight.
Oh, good for you.
Six to eight seems
and
to be.
And he looks boyishly handsome, so that's good.
So I do that. And
for
then,
how long have you been on it?
A couple years.
Oh, I've been toying with the idea.
Yeah. But you know, I understand there's some really compelling data that's going to be released soon. So if people want to wait till that comes out.
The dog studies? Or the humans?
Yes. This is a primate study, actually.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I think that could be very compelling for us.
And yeah.
Some people who are maybe not quite ready
could
wait for such data to come out. But it's interesting, and, you know, we live and we learn, and we keep following the science, and we may one day say, oh, we don't want to do that, but right now.
Yeah, like metformin has gone through its ups and downs, and rapamycin. We'll see. I think there's a role for it intermittently.
I do, and there's interesting things happening topically, as you know, with rapamycin, and my good friends over at Rapalogix are doing great work.
Yes, ReQ, which is a Rapalog that puts the cell into the mTOR1, drives mTOR1 autophagy state.
Right.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So I hope you're on that.
I'm not on the topical rapamycin yet, but I'm definitely taking a close look at it.
I'm
waiting for our friends at Rapalogix to really perfect that.
It does give your skin a lot of increased bounce and juiciness and like firming. Very nice results with that, I will say personally, and also running a study over there. So that's wonderful. How about antioxidants? Are we doing any high dose vitamin C?
Doing high dose oral vitamin C and then a topical vitamin C.
And what's
C?
The high dose? A gram?
Just 1,000 milligrams. Not super high dose.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's what I'm doing, too.
Yeah.
And do you believe in any other NAD precursors, NMN, NR?
You know, I have mixed feelings about NAD and NMN, but I take it because I know it's not harming me.
Yeah.
And it might be helping me.
Okay.
And taurine.
Okay, good. I love it. You're a biohacker.
You know, these are things that I'm pretty confident they're not hurting me, and they might be helping me.
Yeah.
And then I exercise, you know? Probably one of the best things we can do.
The most important thing.
You know.
Do you believe in, are you taking microdoses of any GLP or?
I am not, although I do think there's a role for that, and I am contemplating it, actually.
I think it's really beneficial.
Yeah.
But it does attack the facial fat a little bit, so that's the dilemma, is getting to that level where you suppress appetite and oxidation and glycolation, but you don't attack the fat reserves, because facial fat is everything. Youthfulness is in the fat.
Yeah, so I think you have to, you know, the challenge with the GLPs, at least on the therapeutic doses, of course, is that 40 to 60% of the weight loss is muscle. And you lose fat, and you can lose it not only where you want it, but where you don't. So there are things you have to do, I guess, if you're going to be on those. And
Resistance training so you don't lose muscle.
Yeah.
And then bone density, jumping, and, you know, lifting helps.
There's
with
some
that.
Fascinating therapies that could be used as adjuncts to GLPs that actually cause the muscles to gain size and improve the weight loss and the fat loss.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll see some new data coming out on those.
You mean like the immunologic reversing immune aging type of products?
There's that, but some of the things I'm thinking about are more related to cellular functioning that includes not only in the fat cells in the pancreas, but in the muscles. And so you're actually improving the function of the muscles. So they're actually gaining muscle strength and mass while losing weight. And these therapies that I'm thinking of haven't shown quite as much weight loss as the GLPs, but could easily be added to the GLPs.
Right.
So
in the future.
In the future.
We'll stay tuned for that. Yeah. In the meantime, we have red light therapy. Are you doing that?
I'm not, but I'm fascinated by it, and I'm keeping a close eye on it. Tell us more about what you're doing with it.
Red light is very beneficial, especially dual wavelength red light helps stimulate mitochondria. And in terms of like hair follicle growth, very beneficial. And sure. also skin quality. Like, so many studies now show that there is good improvement with vascular blood flow and
mitochondria. I have to come down here and get treated by you, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a huge fan of red light, and it's such an easy thing to do and gives you a feeling of wellness. And you can get the same red light by going on a sunset walk or early sunrise walk too, but since we're so busy, we tend to rely on devices. So,
sure.
Yeah, but I'm a fan of that.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Would you, so in terms of ferroptosis, is taking iron bad thing?
No. It's so if this is just an iron-dependent pathway, which is normally not triggered, but it's kind of a safety valve for when things are going wrong in a cell and the cell needs to kill itself. And
right.
So let's say a cell was on the way to cancer or it was a senescent cell.
Right.
This is a pathway that could be triggered to get rid of a cell that shouldn't be there anymore. And the challenge with this is when we're young, our body does a pretty good job of getting rid of these cells. As we age, they start to avoid our immune system surveillance. And so this is another pathway that can be used to get rid of those pathologic zombie cells, if you will.
Exactly. I'm curious, we have so many women who are iron deficient. Perhaps that's inhibiting their ferroptosis pathways if they don't even have the iron. For example, they have hair fall and hair shedding, and they're severely ferritin levels are 10. Very iron deficient. That's a fascinating idea. Yeah, I really wonder about that because I do feel like you hit a wall at some point when your when your iron stores tank, everything kind of breaks down all over the whole body. And like you don't even know what's happening and you just
see it in the skin and the hair.
Right.
You're right.
So yeah, women, get your ferritin checked if you're listening. Well, this has been so fascinating. I'm so impressed with the quality of this research, and the results are really outstanding, like 40% reduction of actinic keratosis. That is going to be next level change in dermatology.
Yeah. And with no irritation. So that's what's been remarkable is that, you know, you put Effidex or imiquimod on, you turn
patients look like they've been been to war with the laser. You know?
So this really causes almost no irritation.
Yeah.
Not discernible from placebo. So
that's a beautiful thing.
Good thing.
Yeah. Well, where can people find you if they want to reach out and find out more about Rubato Life Sciences?
Absolutely. Go to our website at rubatolifesciences.com and look us up on social media. We publish frequently on what we're doing.
What's your handle? Website. What's your Instagram handle on social?
Frederick Bedingfield.
Oh, okay. And we'll tag them in the captions too, and Rubato Life Sciences.
And Rubato has their own LinkedIn and also their website that can give you additional information.
Yeah, and stay tuned. He's coming to lecture at the Genesis meeting, which is coming up in Fort Lauderdale at the in a few weeks in August. So I will see you there for sure.
Absolutely.
I can't thank you enough for coming into the office here and getting to know us better. And like, your science is outstanding, first class. I am so excited about this technology. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.